Word tonight. Ask him, say, Father, send me your word again tonight. Send me that word that will bring about my revival and will bring about my lifting in all areas of life. Send me my word, oh God. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, oh God, because we know, God, no man comes into your presence and goes back the same way. And that is why we ask tonight, oh God, that you send us your word. A word that will bring about change. A word that will bring about your glory. That will take us from one level of glory to another level. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Somebody put those hands together for Jesus, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm more than a conqueror. I want to give God thanks for this opportunity to bring God's word to his people, and also to thank our resident pastor who is on a spiritual assignment. And I know that the grace that is at work in his life will find expression in mine today. And somebody will live here blessed and transformed in the name of Jesus. The prophetic focus for the month of November is sanctification secures destiny and eternity. Can somebody echo that? Sanctification secures destiny and eternity. Our main scripture verse for that is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8. And the Bible speaking, it says, for bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto what? All things. How many things? All things. Then the father went on to say, having the promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. Meaning, godliness, sanctification, not only secures the destiny for today, it guarantees eternity for tomorrow. People of God, I want us to understand something tonight. Let us not be deceived by what people will say or what men will think and say, you know what, it's okay. How can they say the loving God will send his loving people to hell? Listen to me. That is why Jesus came. That is why Jesus died. And that is the root of escape. So any man that is not saved, any man that does not live a holy life, heaven does not have shareholders. You have to meet the standard of God to be able to make heaven. And I see us making that in the name of Jesus. All through this month, for our midweek services, we shall be looking at the series, which is putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. We'll quickly look at that this evening. The Bible speaking. In Hebrews chapter 12, when you read from verses 1 down, because we started yesterday, we said something. We said the battle against sin is the fiercest of all spiritual battles in a believer's life. And when we see Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, the Bible says, it says, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It says, let's lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It says, looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For he considered him not, he said, he considered him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. He said, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Our resident pastor said something yesterday. He said, not until you fight sin up to the point whereby you need to shed blood. He said, you have not resisted sin enough. You know, sometimes some people will say, you know, I did everything I could do. I just still fell. Was there blood? Did it get to a point whereby you not shed your blood for that resisting of that sin? I don't think so. The Bible speaking in Matthew chapter 11, verses 12. It says, and from the day of John the Baptist up till now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. As a believer, you must know that it is a battle that we are fighting. The battle against sin. And this is why it is the fiercest of them all. The reason is because every battle a believer faces is a battle against satanic stronghold. This is why it is the fiercest of them all. The Bible speaking in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 12. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle what? Not against flesh nor blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at what 2 Corinthians 4 tells us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 to 6, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's a bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I want us to understand something tonight. To win the war against sin, we must put on a fight of faith. The scripture makes us to understand something in 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 to 12. It says, but thou, O man of God, in a sense, but thou, O woman of God as well. So do not take yourself out of that. It says, flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. It's a fight, the good fight of what? Faith. The fight, for a fight to be a good fight, it has to be a fight of what? Faith. It's a low hold on internal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 tells us, it's a above all. So meaning, above every other thing, consider this first. He said, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Our resident pastor gave us an illustration yesterday. He said, when you see people that play darts, they are very calculative. So it means they are making their targets. They want to get it to that middle. So the Bible is telling us to say, hey, take up the shield of faith so that you can quench that target the devil is trying to come after you, because the devil doesn't want to miss. So for him not to be able to reach you, he said, take up the shield of faith to be able to what? Resist every doubt that he throws towards you. And I see us standing against every doubt from the enemy in the name of Jesus. We must understand that when a man loses the battle of sin, he has lost the battle of life. When a man loses the battle of sin, he has lost the battle of life. Because the Bible makes us to understand in Romans chapter 6, verses 23, it says, for what? The wages of sin, what? Is what? Death. But we will not be found there in the name of Jesus. Yesterday, we took a good look at how to identify the spirit behind sin. Because what you do not know, I always say this, what you do not know, you are not able to fight it. Or what you do not understand, you cannot deal with it. But when you understand something, then you can be able to deal with that issue. So we are going to be identifying the evil spirit behind sin. Yesterday we looked at two of them. We looked at the unclean spirit and we looked at the seducing spirit. And our resident pastor made us to understand something. He said, you know, a lot of times when we think of seducing spirit, we think of a man trying to seduce a woman or a woman trying to seduce a man. But he brought it in another light. And I was so grateful for that. So today we'll be looking at some other things as well when we want to identify the evil spirit behind sin. The number one thing we'll be looking at today is the spirit of the word. The spirit of the word. So when I talk about the spirit of the word, I mean W-O-R-L-D, the spirit of the word. Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The spirit of the world is simply the lust and the love of the things of the world. Believers allowing themselves to be drawn away from the kingdom of God and to be drawn into the lust of this world. That is when we talk about the spirit of the word. The Bible speaking in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, when you read down to 16, it says, love not the word, neither the things that are in the word. If a man love the word, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at what 16 says. It says, for all that is in the word is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, it's not of the Father, but what? Of the Word. We cannot love the Word and say we love God. No. The Bible says you cannot have two masters. You either prefer one to the other. So a man cannot claim to love God and love the Word. So we must understand. A good example of this we see in the scripture is 2 Timothy verses 4 and verse 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10. Paul was talking about a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Talking about Demas. The Bible says, for Demas had forsaken me, have loved this present world, and has departed into Thessalonica, Christian, to Galatians, Titus, into what? Dalmatia. Now, I want us to understand something. Demas was a fellow servant of God. Paul gave us that. Told us about him. If you go to Philemon chapter 1, verses 23, he says, dear salute thee, Epharos, my fellow prisoners in Christ. 24 says, Marcus, Aricachos, Demas. Look at him there. He was mentioned. So he was a fellow servant of God. And if you even go further, Demas was among some of the apostles that were encouraging the believers. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12. It said, Colossians chapter 4, verses 14. It says, look, the beloved physician and Demas greets you. So Demas was among the people that were encouraging the believers initially. But what happened? The lust and the love of the word took him away. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. We must therefore understand that we have the power to be able to resist anything that comes to us as believers. Because if God said, be ye holy as I am holy, and Jesus Christ went further to say, be ye perfect as I am perfect, it is because he has given us the ability, he has given us the grace, he has engraced us to be holy, he has engraced us to be perfect. And that is why he's telling us, God will never give a command that is grievous to you. No, he's not a wicked God. Therefore, we must understand that the scripture is meant for our uplifting. The scripture is meant for what? Our building. So anything that is in the word of God is to take you to your levels, your next levels, up and up. So if God says, stay holy, it means when you remain holy, then you have that grace and that ability to be able to stand before his throne. The Bible makes us to understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the word, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know that the things that are freely given unto what? Us. Can I say this? When you truly catch the revelation of the cross, you will know that there is nothing in this world that can draw you off from God. Because why? He has given you authority and power over everything in this world. So if I have the authority and power over everything in this world, so why will I now want to lust after the things of the world? It's like me becoming slave to what I am over. But that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. The Bible speaking in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20, it says, which we wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Look at what God has made you and I to be. In verses 21, he says, he has set him far above principalities and power, might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, he says, but also in that which is to come. So you are not only meant to reign in this world, you are meant to reign even in the world to come. And verse 22 says, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, you and I, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Number two, quickly this evening. Number two, things we must know is the lust of the eyes. The spirit behind everything that is not of God. The spirit behind sin. Number two is the lust of the eyes, otherwise known as covetousness. The Bible speaking in Joshua chapter 7 verses 1. Now it was talking about how the people, they betrayed all they turned against. He said, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in their cursed things. For Achan, talking about Achan, the son of Carmi, look at what happened now. If you read that scripture, he started giving his history. So when he committed a wrong, they started tracing his name back to his fathers and everything. They started straightening his genealogies. Now he says, he had done something which was evil before the Lord. Because why? He had a covetous eyes. Now look at the evil he did in verses 19 because of time. He said, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord, God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. He did not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord of Israel, and thus this is the thing I have done. When I saw among the spoils of the godly Babylonian garments, further he said, and he went further and said, and 200 shekels of silver, and the wages of gold of 50 shekels of weight, then I converted what? Them. Listen, the spirit of covetousness always leads to the spirit of stealing. And let me tell you, a covetous man is never satisfied. When he gets one, he wants to get another one. And that's what you saw there. He saw the garment. He moved on to say shekels. From there, he moved on. He is never satisfied. A covetous man from stealing can even go to the extent of murder. And you saw that with Judas Iscariot. Judas was very covetous. He started stealing from the poor. He did not end there. He sought Christ to be killed. The spirit of covetousness. Therefore, we must understand that if we must deal with the spirit of covetousness, there are steps that we must take to live a sanctified life. The steps that we must take to live a sanctified life to deal with these evil spirits behind sin. Number one is abstain from evil. Abstain from evil. The Bible speaking in Isaiah chapter 52 verses 11. It said, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch not unclean things, go ye out from the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessel of the Lord. Your body is the vessel of the Lord. And the Bible say, be ye clean that bear the vessel of the Lord. Now the Bible speaking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 22, it say, abstain from all appearances of evil. Now when the Bible says abstain, it was the same translation that was used when it says flee. And that is what Joseph did. Now I always say, flee is the senior brother of run. You understand? Flee is the senior brother, and this is why. When you flee, it's noiseless. It's like a breeze. You don't care what you leave behind. You run. That's why the Bible says, flee fornication. Flee adultery. So you run, and that's what Joseph did. He saw that and said, hey, this is not a matter of running. This is a matter of fleeing. I have to operate on the senior brother of running. Praise the name of Jesus. Number two, quickly this evening, that we're going to look at to stay away, things that we must take, the steps that we must take to stay away from sin is make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. Romans chapter 13 verses 14 says, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now we saw And a good example in the scripture, talking about Amor. He made provision for the flesh. Amor started lusting after his own sister. You see that in 2 Samuel 13 down because of time. And so Amor took counsel from a friend of what to do to lure his sister. And what happened to him? The Bible says he was killed. He died. Because when we make room for the flesh, at the end, what happens is death. That's what happens. So when we listen to what is not right and we tend to give in to it, it always ends up in death. I tell people, I say, listen, when you start to play with sin, you become a plague. And when you toy with sin, the devil turns you to a toy. So, but that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. So we must understand that paraventure, we fall short. The only escape is repentance. Paraventure. This was the difference between David and Saul. That was the difference. Whenever Saul made a mistake, Saul will always look for an excuse. Saul will always look for somebody to blame. And say, oh, it is because of the people. But the Bible makes us understand. David will always go down on his knees and say, hey, I have missed it. Father, forgive me. With weeping. With what? Genuine. Remember, I use the word genuine repentance. He will always go before God in genuine repentance. The Bible makes us to understand something when you talk about David in 2 Samuel. When David, a story was told to David, the prophet Nathan came to David and said, hey, David, you have committed something. But he was giving him a story because he was a king. He was somehow scared. So he told him a story. And David was like, whoever that man is must be killed. And the prophet said, David, it is you. The Bible says in verse 13, look at what David now said. When David realized it was him, because God has said that sin would have led to his death. The Bible says in verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, that thou should not what? Die. Because why? David came before God with a repentant heart. And that's why the throne was taken from Saul, because Saul never repented. He was always looking for an excuse to give. So when you paraventure, you find yourself in a place you're not supposed to, immediately, because that is the only way, is repentance. And I pray that God will give us the grace to always walk in actual and true and genuine repentance, even as we walk uprightly before him in every step we take in the name of Jesus. Let's rise up on our feet this evening. Let's rise up this evening as we begin to give God thanks, giving thanks, and begin to ask for grace. I want us to do a deep search in our heart. Deep search in our heart. What is it that will stop you? Or what is that thing that can stop you from not actualizing the purpose that God has ordained? Because sometimes there are sins that we are hindering our prayers. Is it that of lying? Is it that of gossip or bearing false witness? Ask God, say, Father, I ask for a purging this night. I ask that you purge me afresh. Purge me afresh from everything that doesn't bring glory to you. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and honor. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Is there anybody here tonight, if you know you have not given your life to Christ, whether you're online or on ground, I just want you to quickly do something for me tonight. Just put your right hands on your chest and say this word after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask, O God, that you purge me clean from every works of death. Purge me clean and wash me as white as snow. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life and become my Lord and Savior. From today onward, I choose you and never to go back. I ask for the grace to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. If you have prayed that prayer, you can just send us a message. If you're online, you can send us a message and somebody will reach out to you. Somebody lift up those hands and just give God thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you because I begin to walk in uprightness and I begin to walk in truth. To you alone be all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's put those hands together for Jesus as we receive God's servant. Make it louder for Jesus. I believe we